Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin. Familia, it's the NFL Insider Series. We are going to Motown, Detroit Rock City, Lions country today. Lions, Los Leones. I'm telling you, Barry Sanders, Kelvin Johnson, maybe they're not here, but you know what? There's some guys we're going to be able to talk about that are going to be pretty exciting for fantasy this year. And our invitado is right here, ready to break it down for us. First off, I want to make sure you're here, you're watching us on YouTube. Give us a like and subscribe. Por favor, por favor. You know, our numbers have almost doubled, honestly, since this NFL Insider Series. So I know you are all watching and you've been commenting. I appreciate it so much. Muchas gracias for that. If you haven't already, hit that like and subscribe button. Por favor. Just hit it right there. Going to keep coming back with so much good content and also through the season. Also, make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. When you use that promo code FAMILIA23, you're going to get matched the first $100. So you put in $100, they match you $100, and then you're going to start doing best ball drafts. Right now, it's the prime time, numero uno time, because basically from 4th of July on to the football season, the numbers are just going to go crazy. Already, people have been drafting on best ball basically since the Super Bowl. But right now is when everybody gets excited. So again, use that promo code FAMILIA23 or FAMILIA23 if you want to play around and do it in Spanish. So get in there. So Familia, you know what? I love doing three-peats. Even though the Bad Boys Pistons stopped the Lakers from doing a three-peat back in 1989, but you know what? All is forgiven because my man Mike Payton, he just brings the great, great, great content every time. He gives me so much great information on this team, and this is a very important team for fantasy this year. And he just became the Lions beat writer for A to Z Sports, so. Check out his work there. You find him at A to Z Payton right now on Twitter. Threads, he's also on there too for those of you on Facebook. But hey, let's welcome him in. Yeah, man, he's got so much great sabor. Mi amigo, compadre, Mike Payton. Thank you for joining us, mi amigo. Muchas gracias. Estás en tu casa.
Oh man, I'm happy to do it. You know, I love your podcast and I love joining you. You know, this is the third year in a row. So, cheers to a fourth one next year.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, you know what? We're cheering a lot to, the whole offseason basically has been just cheers, salud to the Lions. I mean, I don't know how easy it is considering the history of this team, but how easy is it to accept all the flowers that are being thrown at them, especially because of this fantastic offense that was so fun last year?
Yeah, it's really weird. Because this is something that, at least in my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen. You know, that everybody believes that the Lions are going to be good, even when the Lions were a decent team in like 2014 when they went 11-5. Nobody expected that to happen, and nobody thought that was going to happen or was on their bandwagon. And a lot of people thought maybe they were pretenders. But at this point, everyone seems to believe that the Detroit Lions are destined for division championship glory. So it is a really weird thing. But people are kind of taking it cautiously optimistic at this time.
Well, let's jump to the quarterback. I mean, Jared Goff, you know, there was so much talk coming from the Rams to the Lions that maybe he was going to be a placeholder. And but last year, almost 4,500 yards, just a fantastic season. He was absolutely electric in at Ford Field. In fact, Familia, go check out that my QB Hermanos feature on him and Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins. If you combine the two of them, they're home 13 out of 17 weeks. So it's just, you're just going to go crazy. But Jared Goff, I mean, he really has commanded this offense. It's his third year in the offense. Can we expect another season of about like 4,500 yards and about 30 touchdowns with that, you know, with the receiver talent that he's got?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Goff is coming off arguably the best year of his career last year. It was amazing what he was able to do, especially since, like you said, he was considered to be a bridge quarterback. And now he's put himself into the situation where there's a good chance he's going to get an extension. The Lions and Jared Goff's agent are already talking about it. Whether that happens before the season or after, we don't know at this point. But it looks like he is the Lions quarterback for a while. And it's going to be stuff like the ball security that he's been showing. Since week 10 of the 2021 season, nobody has turned the ball over less than Jared Goff. Not Patrick Mahomes, not Josh Allen, not Lamar Jackson, not anybody. Nobody has turned the ball over less than Jared Goff since week 10 of the 2021 season. That's insane. He's probably about 5 weeks away from breaking Aaron Rodgers' record for most completions without an interception. If he can go through the first 5 weeks of the season without throwing an interception, so there's a lot there, and he's got a great partnership with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he's got some new faces, some new weapons that he's going to be able to use this year. So I think Goff is in for another great season.
Now, is it? A little bit. I touched on the home road splits, and I saw something that like he was 23-3, 23 touchdowns, 3 interceptions at home. And I figured it out. If he would have played all his games at Ford Field, he would have thrown for 43 touchdowns and almost 4,700 yards. Has there been obviously, you know, there's they play in the dome when they go on the road to Minnesota, tougher, but. They're not, it looks like some of the schedule might've helped them a little bit this year to be able to have a lot of games under the dome, at the end of the season. Does that make them favorable to you?
Oh, absolutely. The Lions were one of the best offenses in indoor offenses in 2022. They were, I believe, second in points per game. And I think they were second in yards per game as well. So going down the stretch, which is a big deal when the winter elements start coming in, that's when things can be a problem. The Lions have exactly one outdoor game after the bye week, which is week 9, and that's in Chicago. Other than that, they play Minnesota at home, Minnesota, you know, at their building, which is indoor, Dallas at their building, which is indoor, and then they have a bunch of home games themselves. So they do not have to deal with the winter elements at all this year outside of that game against the Bears, which is in, early enough in the winter where you're probably not going to be dealing with any sort of blizzard game or anything like that. They have no frozen tundra game in Green Bay at the end of the season this year like they seem to always have. It's going to be a leg up for them as well because, you know, Jared Goff especially has dealt with some bad, well, I wouldn't say bad play, but not as great play in the elements. And this is really going to be able to assist him.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, me being a Ram fan, I mean, I saw it a couple times, especially the Chicago game at the end of the 2018 season where he was just dominating. And, I mean, it was just like 12 degrees, and that started it. But you know what? I'm really bullish on Goff this year, just because of that, because he's going to be on the fast track. And I want to jump straight to the sun god himself, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, it just took such an enormous leap last year, and he ended up with 146 targets, became became one of the elite wide receivers. Now he's going in the second round of underdog drafts. So now it's time to pay up. Now he got 146 targets last year. He did miss a game, but I mean, could we be talking about 150, 160 targets, especially with Jameson Williams being out for part of the season?
Oh, without question. Yeah, without Jameson being there for the first 6 games of the year, Amon-Ra's going to be, you know, I mean, he already is the number one receiving option. He's going to that's going to double. So he's going to get plenty of targets. I would definitely pick up Amon-Ra St. Brown in your fantasy draft. I know I'm going to. The guy is as sure-handed as it comes. You know, this is a guy who barely ever drops the ball. And he's done big things in his career. He's tied the NFL record for most consecutive games with 8 passes or 8 receptions. He's the first Lions receiver in franchise history to have 2 back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Not even Calvin Johnson did that. So St. Brown is definitely for real. If you're feeling a little hesitant to draft him, you shouldn't, because that guy's elite.
And you know, one of the things that I've been doing that makes me feel kind of sexy is I've had a couple of drafts where I picked at the end of the first round, and I targeted that game where the Lions are playing the Cowboys in week 17, championship week for fantasy. And I'm grabbing CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown and hoping that it's just like, it's like an old school NBA basketball game where they're just going head to, you know, Magic Johnson against Isaiah Thomas. And I love that combo. Let's talk before we get into the running backs. Let's talk about Jameson. He's got to miss the first six games, but you know, I think we saw flashes last year when he came back. I mean, the deep ball, it definitely took some deep shots. His one in reception was a 41 yard touchdown, if I remember correctly.
Right.
But missing the six games, can you see a slow start to come back to get acclimated? But then what dimension does he add to the team when he does come back?
Well, he's a deep field threat. I mean, he's a speed demon. The guy is so fast. It's unbelievable. I think you saw a little bit of what he was able to bring to the team last year, especially against the Green Bay Packers in week 18. Pass got called back, but it was an unbelievable, he beat the entire secondary, into the depths of the field and was able to bring that home for a touchdown. Once again, it did get called back, but you see what he's able to do. And I think that's exactly what he's going to be able to bring this year. The advantage this year, though, is even though he can't play that first six games, he will be able to practice at some point, and he is going to be taking part in camp, which is something he didn't do last year because he was coming off that torn ACL he had in the national championship game. But, yeah, Jameson Williams is already starting to form some chemistry with Jared Goff, and you've seen some of that stuff at OTAs and mini camps, and he's looked pretty good so far. But it's going to be, more of that. It needs to be that chemistry needs to be built up, and hopefully we'll see more of what we can expect from him in camp and then be able to definitively answer what he's going to bring. But I think the expectation for him at least is to be that number two receiver once he's back and ready to go.
Yeah, and and we've also heard Amon-Ra St. Brown talking about taking more deep shots. Does this look like it could be a more vertical offense, especially the third year in the offense with the OC Johnson?
Yeah, I think deep shots are definitely something that they could do. Last year, Jared Goff took plenty of them, so I think that's something they'll do again. They don't have DJ Chark this year, who was pretty good in the deep game when he was healthy last year, and that's going to affect them some. But with Jameson Williams coming back, and Jahmyr Gibbs is another guy who could be a weapon there as well. I think they're going to take plenty of shots.
Well, you know what? You teed me up for the next one. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. That running back duo for the Lions last year was just, I mean, Jamal Williams was gold last year, and DeAndre Swift, when he was healthy, he definitely produced. Now you can kind of look at Jahmyr Gibbs going into that hybrid, that dual threat pass receiving and running back, as well as David Montgomery being kind of like that banger who maybe takes the shots in the red zone. But that's me looking outside from your standpoint. I want your boots on the ground look.
Yeah. It seems as though David Montgomery is going to be like a three down back, and he's going to handle the majority of the carries, which you would expect him to do because he's a pretty good running back. And I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be kind of more of, I've compared what I think his role is going to be to like Deebo Samuel, for example. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be all over the place. He's a weapon. He's not necessarily just a running back. I think they're going to throw him passes underneath. I think they're going to put him out wide. I think he's going to run the ball, obviously, like as a change of pace type back. But he's going to be everywhere. I think the Lions are going to ask a lot from him in his rookie year. And I think because of that, I did a way too early NFL award predictions for A to Z this week. And I picked Jahmyr Gibbs to win rookie of the year because I think with everything that he's going to be asked to do and the fact that at Alabama he did show that he's a home run hitter, I think that he's going to be able to do that in the NFL.
He's got great speed. Familia, if you haven't checked it out, go to Brett Whitefield interview I did in early May talking about the landing spots for rookies, and he loves Jahmyr Gibbs. In fact, since I think over the last 6-7 years, he's got him ranked. If he ranked all, you know, his own system, he has Gibbs as the number 5 running back over that time. And do you think they're going to complement one another pretty well?
Yeah, I think they definitely will, because again, I think Montgomery with that, you know, the 3-down back and the change of pace with Gibbs is really gonna set things up, and I think you'll see a lot of two running back sets, and and then there's a third running back, Muhammad Ibrahim from Minnesota, who is an undrafted rookie. I think he's gonna play a large role in this group as well. I'm projecting that he will make the roster. And I think he's going to be kind of a short yardage, goal line type back. I don't know what that will necessarily do to Montgomery at the end of the day, but I think that this is going to be a nice little running back by committee type situation.
Oh, man, well, it's definitely. I mean, with this explosive offense, I think there's going to. I mean, both running backs are going to get plenty of touches. On Gibbs, can you speculate a number on how many targets he might get over the season? Four a game would be 68.
Yeah,
a lot.
I think there's a world where he could get 70 to 80. Yeah, I mean, I think that he's going to be a big part, especially in that first 6 games of the year. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense. And I think that he'll be able to handle it as well. He led Alabama in receptions last year. They used him a lot in the pass game. I think the Lions will do the exact same thing.
Ooh, it's sexy. I grabbed him on a couple of dynasty teams, so I'm very excited on that one. So I wanted to ask kind of like a third option, because this is going to be a prolific offense. You know, the Sam Laporta. He's got the draft capital getting taken fairly high, because I mean, there's going to be a pecking order. Obviously, it's probably, I mean, maybe he's fourth in that pecking order when you put Gibbs in there with Jameson Williams. But could Laporta, from what you've seen at camp, could Laporta be a sleeper this year?
Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, the Lions traded away TJ Hockenson last year, and they almost kind of, their tight ends were kind of used as an afterthought, unless they were in the red zone, and they got a lot of red zone tight touchdowns last year from their tight ends as a group. That wasn't one guy necessarily. So I think that Ben Johnson, Lions offensive coordinator, is going to really incorporate the tight ends more this year. Sam Laporta definitely has a yards after the catch ability that a lot of tight ends, you know, you wish that they had. It's a la George Kittle or Travis Kelce type deal. Can he be as good as those guys? I don't know. We'll soon see. But I do definitely think that Jared Goff is going to utilize him. He definitely was throwing to him a lot at OTAs and minicamp. And what Laporta was doing there looked pretty good. He was catching everything, and he was extending plays. And yeah, I mean, so I think there's definitely a chance he could be a sleeper. He's a guy that I plan to draft, you know, like in that last few rounds and stash and see what happens.
Yeah, kind of like that second tight end that you grabbed to see if maybe, yeah, because there's always guys like, you know, last year was Chig Okonkwo and Greg Dulcich. I mean, yeah, Laporta could be one of those guys. Any other receivers to keep an eye on?
I really like James Mitchell, who is the second tight end. The Lions drafted him last year, and he's a day 3 pick. But he's an athlete. When he was at Virginia Tech, the I can't remember what they're called over there, the Hokies, I think they are. they used him as a tight end, receiver, running back. He even returned some kicks. So I like a guy who is a Swiss Army knife. And I think James Mitchell, who was coming off an ACL injury last year, and they sort of took it slow with him, I think you'll see a lot more of him this year. I don't know if he's a fantasy option necessarily, but he's definitely a guy that I would keep an eye on.
Awesome. Well, you know, one of the groups that is getting so much scrutiny, and rightfully so. I mean, and actually a lot of accolades, the offensive line. PFF rated them number 5 going into this season. It's, I mean, it's a group with draft capital, with just, you know, with, and now it's not, you know, not a lot of it, not a lot of youth. It's, I mean, this group, how much is this group going to be kind of like the foundation of what this team is going to do offensively?
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, it's basically everything. It's keeping Jared Goff on his feet. It's opening up holes for the running backs. It's giving Goff enough time to pass. It's, you know, having a great offensive line is invaluable. You know, that's why guys like Dak Prescott are, you know, him not being that great of a quarterback is covered up, because he has a pretty good offensive line. So I you know, this is one of the best groups in the league, as you mentioned. There's some questions on who's going to play right guard at this point. It could be Halapulati Vaitai. It could be Graham Glasgow, who's returning to Detroit after a few years in Denver. That's really the only question mark about this whole thing. Everybody seems to be healthy. If they can see, that's the one thing, is that every year this group, one person seems to be hurt, and we've never actually seen the full group together for a full season. So the hope, at least from the Lions fans and from Detroit, the Lions themselves, is that they could get a full year out of this offensive line. And if they can, then, man, they're a very good unit.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to the other side of the ball. Because, I mean, this was a defense that, you know, I've got no qualms about it. Part of the reason why that the Lions offense was so prolific is the defense was giving up points a lot of times. That I think my head is still spinning from the Seattle game, almost 100 points in that game. You're looking at, so where I know they started to show a little bit more at the end of the season against the run game. Where are they improved, especially since they lost Jeff Okuda on the backside?
Well, they're definitely improved in the secondary. You know, Brad Holmes, Lions GM, went out and spent a lot of money on fixing up that secondary, bringing in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Cameron Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley, and then drafting Brian Branch in the second round. Plus the rise of Jerry Jacobs, who was an undrafted rookie a couple years ago and is probably primed to be the number 2 corner on this team. I think that their secondary is in the best shape that it's been since the days of Glover Quinn and Darius Slay and James Adebo and all those guys. It's been a while since they've had such a great secondary group, and now they're just rebuilding. And I think they're also going to bring the swagger and the attitude that this defense needs. They're already bringing it in OTAs and minicamp. They're talking trash, and everybody's loving them, and they're intercepting everybody. And I think they're going to be a great unit. I think the defensive line and the linebacking core is going to be good as well. It's a little distressing that the Lions didn't do enough, or really a whole lot at all, to help them stop the run, which really beat them up last year. They allowed the 3rd most receiving or rushing yards in the league last season, and they kind of, you know, didn't really do anything other than draft Broderick Martin in the 3rd round, and he's kind of a project at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see how this team stops the run.
You know, and it is kind of interesting, because I mean, I'm seeing this a lot from doing these, if teams are going to give up yards somewhere, it's going to be in the run game, and they're going to really sell out to beat the pass. And I kind of feel, you know, kind of feel the same thing happening here. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, Familia, we're until further notice, I'm going to put the running backs against them, but I'm going to be careful with the quarterbacks. I'm definitely going to be careful with the quarterbacks, because it's, I think you're right. The secondary is going to be take some step forward.
Well, the thing about quarterbacks, though, is the Lions allowed 700 rushing yards from quarterbacks last year. That's an awful lot. And they're going to be playing, Justin Fields twice this year, who would accounted for a lot of that. And then they'll also have Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, guys who can use their feet. They're going to be playing against them this year. So if the Lions can't figure that out, then, you know, that's another reason to maybe put a quarterback in who's playing Detroit in your lineup that week, especially if he can run.
Absolutely. Oh, well, we've gone all this way without talking about Dan Campbell biting kneecaps or something like that. Any pull quotes that you heard in camp or OTAs?
Nothing from, you know, nothing to that level. But they, the GM Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell have both done this thing where they're wearing t-shirts with pictures of each other on them. It's a real bromance happening in Detroit right now, and it's really funny to see. And it's also, you know, encouraging to see that the head coach and the GM are so much on the same page. You know, that really, that does go a long way at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you need that. And you know, hey, you know what, I was a Brad Holmes fan from what he did to help build up the Rams. So yes, I'm always gonna be rooting for him. So hoping for good things. So and this has been great already, man. You really knocked it out for me. So hey, you know what, and I know you get, We're gonna close out with some good Mexican food talk. I know, yeah. You get the good stuff. I know you get the good homemade, you know, hecho a mano. Any recent favorites?
Well, you know, I tried birria the other day. I think I hope I'm saying that right. I think that's like goat, right?
Uh huh.
It was pretty good. I had a queso birria, and I dipped it in the little. You know, what are the salsa or what the sauce, uh-huh. or whatever it was. And man, that was really good. That's the first time I ever had goat. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I've been eating a lot of pozole. You know, my wife's mom just loves to make pozole. So we've been eating a ton of that lately. And yeah, that we had carnitas on Tuesday for my, ooh. Wife's birthday. That's one, beautiful. Of her favorite things. Homemade too, not from the store. You know, like real, you know, they went out and took care of all that stuff themselves. Your mom cooked it at home. It was so good.
Homemade carnitas. My mom makes homemade carnitas too. And it's like, it ruins me for everywhere else. So, and the birria. So next time you have it, basically all you need, the only other dressing you need, a little onion, a little cilantro. And it's okay. It's one of my favorites. Dusty Evely from Cheesehead TV, when I was doing the last year when I did the Packers one, I recommended birria to him, and about a few weeks later he sent me an email, sent me a DM, and he's like, "You changed my life, birria is like spectacular." We just recently did a show with him, so I'll shout out again, Dusty. So yes, keep enjoying. Oh mi amigo. This has been awesome. So please feel free, plug everything you got coming up, because this is going to be a very important training camp.
Yep. Well, you can find me at A to Z Sports/Detroit. I'll be covering everything there for the Lions. I'll be at camp this at the end of this month and going forward. So I'll have plenty of stuff. I've got some things planned. We'll see where they go, but you can also find me on Twitter at A to Z_Peyton. You can find me on Threads if you're on there, brand new Facebook's version of Twitter, Instagram's version of Twitter, or however you want to say it. It's POD_Peyton there. And you could listen to our podcast, Bad Boys and Beyond, where we cover Pistons history and NBA history. Anywhere you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it at. We are on there. Please give us a listen and give us a follow on Twitter at Bad Boys Beyond. I think that's all I've got.
Oh man, that's why I had to drop the three-peat mention on there with Detroit and Familia. Let me tell you something. Only Tom Selleck wears the Detroit Tigers hat better. So, and nice. I did that just so I could drop Tom Selleck's name into the algorithm. So YouTube, please understand, Tom Selleck, Magnum PI, and Mike Payton, all in the same sentence. So
does the new guy wear the Tigers hat?
I don't think I've seen him wearing the Tigers cap.
No. So. Okay.
No, I don't. I've only seen him. You know, no lid.
Yeah, so. Well, he's got nice hair, man. That guy's got great hair. Wish yeah, I had hair like that.
You got great hair. He wears the Hawaiian shirt, so he does that. So, okay. Oh man. Oh, mi amigo, thank you again, and everybody, thank you for watching again. Make sure, if you haven't already, give us give us that thumbs up, give us that like over on YouTube, and also. When you go to underdogfantasy.com, use that promo code Familia23, Familia23, you're going to get matched up to your first $100. Also, I'm at JorgeMartin17 on Twitter. Everywhere else you could find me, FamiliaFFB, Facebook, Instagram, those places, and FamiliaFFB.com. gonna keep going, putting out a little content there. And again, you're gonna see me popping up on some sites starting in a couple weeks. And lastly, for those of you who want this on audio, so if you didn't get a chance, if you don't have the opportunity to watch Mike with his Detroit Tigers cap, you want to get. Thank you to Spotify for Podcasters. You can find us at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Just subscribe and it'll pop up in your feed. So, otra vez, thank you, Mike, for joining us, Miguel. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Muchas gracias. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.